night is the Sunday,
October 3rd.
October 3rd, Sunday night speaker meeting in Narcotics Anonymous. And please help me welcome our first speaker, Lisa.
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm an addict.
Hi, Lisa.
And this is Iggy.
Hi.
Sorry, I have to speak. I'm so caught up on what I have to know something first. Did the Packers win?
No.
Okay. I can still speak. So I'm an addict, and you know, there are times when, like, it all comes together and everything gels and it's really groovy and I'm having a great time and I'm loving life and I'm loving recovery, and no one ever asks me to speak at a meeting during those times. It's when, like, I've been spending my time, you know, face down on the floor wondering if I can get up, the people are like, hey, you should come talk, you know? And, like, Jim didn't even know that, and he called out of the blue. Somehow, it's when people call. And I've learned to sort of have a sense of humor about it, because, you know, I am powerless over that. And I think, I've been to this meeting a couple of times, and I think that people, I think it's experience, strength, and hope. I think people, when I've been here, have told their story. First of all, I hate telling my story, but I do it. But there's been an interesting development. You know what? I cannot exactly tell you what my story is anymore. It's changing. I'm 3. I'm hoping that I'll be 4 in December. And things have really changed really dramatically for me recently. And, you know, I was talking to Liz on the way here, and I went to the World Convention, and the Sunday before it was over, there was this speaker, and he talked about he had cancer at some point, and he called it his cancer adventure. And that really stuck in my head that he referred it to it that way. So I've decided to refer to what's going on with me as my anxiety adventure. In the last month, I've started having anxiety attacks. I didn't know that they were anxiety attacks. I had no idea. Someone had to explain to me what they were. The only anxiety that I'd ever had was physical, and it was from heroin withdrawal. So I would be driving somewhere or at home, and I would get the feeling, I kind of double over, I get this feeling like I was in great danger and I couldn't breathe. And I would ask myself, what's wrong? And because there's nothing wrong in that moment, every bad thing that ever happened to me would flood in. I would relive every bad thing that I could possibly remember. It would just flood in. Like I was trying to fill in the gap of what must be wrong. And this went on for about a month, and I finally asked somebody, I finally said, you know, I hit a bottom. I was like, I think I'm going crazy, and I need some help. And so I found out that I'm having anxiety attacks. And I'm not real thrilled about it, but I'm gonna, you know, a sense of humor will get you through a lot. And I have found having some levity about it, it's just life. You know what I mean? It's just life. This is the new thing. It won't stay this way. I've taken to closing all the windows at night and sleeping with a knife and my chihuahua here. And I go ahead and let myself do it. And I just sort of smile like, you know what? We'll see. And what I understand, because it's been my experience here, is that no matter what I go through, no matter how bad it is, no matter how hard it is, there's freedom at the other side. I don't ever go through anything that there is no reason. I've not had that experience here where it's been like, I went through this, it was really tough, I didn't know how I was going to do it, and it was for no reason at all. It hasn't happened. So I'm thinking that there's going to be some sort of freedom on the other side of this. And in the meantime, you know, I'm in the middle of it, and it's weird, and it's hard, and it's kind of feel like a dork, and I feel like a cliche, and I just want to go hide. And the thing is that, you know, I don't know. I went to this. I went to a benefit today for the Rape Treatment Center Foundation. I work for someone who's a philanthropist, and so I go to all these kinds of events. And I went, and there was some pretty gnarly stuff. Actually, it's a really good organization, but some of the things they talked about were very difficult. And they did this thing where they told the story of this woman who had been brutally raped, and then they introduced her. It was weird. People, there was like 1,000 people there. They could make it through the story. Once they had to like have her up at that podium, like hundreds of people left. Never seen anything like that. And I don't think they were bad. I just don't think, you know, that's pretty intimate in a way. And so she started to speak, and she was talking about what her, like, that she had changed and what had happened to her. And that she no longer felt safe, and what that was like. And I was sitting there, and I thought, you know what? Unless I've been loaded, I don't know that I feel like that. I feel like that, and have no idea what happened to me or something even did. And I was grateful that I was there to hear that, because it's like, you know what? This is kind of uncomfortable, and I'm not really sure. You know, I'm all dressed up, and I'm at this brunch, and it's going on, and wow, and it's kind of heady, but. I was like, hey, I can relate, in a way, just to the feeling, you know? And so when I say that it's hard for me to tell my story, it's because I used to know the parts. I can tell you some of the parts. I can tell you about living in the alley, and I can tell you about, I remember when doing drugs when it was good, and I remember doing drugs when it was bad, and I remember all of that, but I think I'm at this point in my recovery when I may be learning the real reason that I did drugs. And the reason may not be that I was bad. I often think that I did drugs because I just wasn't quite good enough to cope. That I just wasn't quite good enough to live up to the expectations of me for the lifestyle that I had as a younger person. That I just wasn't quite good enough to take advantage of the opportunities that I had growing up. That I just really wasn't quite good enough to cut it. And lately, that's been challenged. And that's good, and it's also hard, because it's like, well, if it's not that, maybe there's a reason that I used. Maybe it's not that I'm bad. And I don't know what that means yet, and I don't know what it looks like yet, and I don't really know what to do with it, because some of my identity is built around the fact that I became this hardcore heroin addict in San Francisco because I just wasn't quite up to par, you know? And so if that's not true, where does that lead me? Who the hell am I? And I don't know. I hear people talk about the fact that, you know, like they think sometimes we're born as addicts or something. I've never had the feeling that I was born an addict. I also had the feeling that it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if I was born an addict or not. I am an addict. And there are a couple of things I'm sure of. You know, anytime I have to speak, the day of, I always think, God, what was, you know, it's NA, Narcotics Anonymous. What do I think of Narcotics Anonymous, you know? Get my recovery, it's like NA, I'm going to an NA meeting and I mean, I go to them all the time, but when I have to talk, it's like I absolutely love Narcotics Anonymous. And the thing that I often like that really comes up for me is I want to say thank you. I think that the thing that keeps me clean is gratitude. And it's not even just gratitude to be clean. I am grateful to be clean. I'm so grateful to be clean. I'm really grateful for you people. I was really alone before I got here. And I have not spent a moment alone other than by choice since I came. And the more time that goes by that I stay clean, the more I become aware of just how alone I was and how alone I'm not. Even in that veil that the drugs bring, you know, even then, I knew the constant was that I was really fucking alone. And my worst day was not my most traumatic day. I've been through some traumatic shit in life. My worst day was the day I was at the cracked hotel or whatever it was in San Francisco. It was Cinco de Mayo of 1999. I didn't know it was Cinco de Mayo. You had to vacate those hotels. You couldn't stay. They kicked you out in the morning. And I was semi out of dope, halfway sick. And I went and I sat down and on the stoop, and a fucking parade went by. Out of the rain and the mist in San Francisco in the Mission District, a fucking parade went by. And I was like, oh my God. Where am I? Who am I? What the hell is going on? This cannot be my life. I have nowhere to go. I don't even know what's going on. And I'm so removed from life that it was like watching it go by in Technicolor and they were happy. And I really wished I could just disappear. I haven't had any moments like that clean. Not that bad. Because I've been able to pick up the phone. You know, something about having like this awareness of what's going on and having my wits about me. I know I don't have to do that. I don't have to live like that. I don't ever have to have another day like that. And it means the world to me. I know, sweetheart. And I have not stayed clean from the moment that I got here. I was here for a year, and I went out and used because I was pissed that my life was still hard, and I didn't get it. And you know what? I got clean again because I missed everybody. Because the relationship, people were still nice to me, but the relationship was different, you know? Because they were clean. And I remember one of my best friends telling me, Lisa, I'm not going to be able to hang out with you anymore. I love you. And is there anything I can do to convince you to get clean? And I cried. And I was so alone again. I wasn't as alone as that day, but it was pretty lonely. You know, I don't want to be alone. I'm a human. I'm social. I need people. I used to think that like some success thing would be if I was able to get through life by myself and I didn't need anybody and I could just like go through and be strong and be completely self-sufficient. And the truth is that I need an incredible amount of help. And I do need love, and I do need like people in my life, and I do need to be there, and I do need to go through it with you, and I need to know what you go through. And one thing that like brings great comfort to me is that y'all are not perfect, and I don't have to be either. And I don't always dig everybody all the time. Sometimes you people annoy me. I always love you, and I mean it. from the bottom of my heart. Because this is the only place I've ever been that took me in and never tried to get rid of me and didn't reject me. And I've acted worse in Narcotics Anonymous than anywhere else. I have complained and been a bitch and didn't let people hug me. I went through a year on interferon where I basically told you all to fuck off even though I was in a meeting, and no one ever did anything except occasionally complain about it or whatever. But I mean, nobody sent me packing. You guys have never kicked me out. Thank you. I hope you never do. I'm counting on it. Because I don't have anywhere else that I fit in. I never did. You know, I came here, I think at 30. I remember being like 12 and not fitting in. You know, I do. And it all means the world to me. I've also found that like everything that I've gone through here, someone else has too. And I think that's the experience, strength, and hope. I haven't come up with an experience yet or a feeling or anything like that that one of you hasn't already been there. And it always, it's the hope. It's like, okay, you know what? They lived. That person's okay. She got through it. He got through it. He's felt like that. And it's like, okay, you know what? I can just get through the day. I've also found, I learned what it is that the idea of like my higher power and the way that God takes care of me. Before I got here, I thought that I did not deserve God. I believed in God. I thought God had no time for me. And if I was going to pray, it better be for somebody else. Because I had squandered my opportunities. And so I had no right to be asking anything. Staying clean, working steps, being a member of this fellowship, being in this program has taught me that God has always been here. God has been there in my darkest moments, smack back. And I don't think that the evidence of that is that I lived. I believe that if I had died, it simply would have been that God said I'd had enough and brought me home. I just think when I look at it, there has always been so much grace. And I found my higher power here. You guys gave me a loving, kind, higher power. And thank you for that, too, because, you know, people aren't there every second. You know, you guys don't go to sleep with me at night. And there are some times when I just have to be able to just know that God is there, and I may feel really terrible at the moment, but I'm not really alone, even if I can't feel it. And there have been times I could feel God, and I've been like, you know what, I really don't want you. I want my mom and dad, but I guess you'll have to do. I have also cursed at God more clean than, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been like, God damn it, motherfucker, what are you thinking? God has still not abandoned me. I've given up the idea that I have to be good enough for God. And I don't want to make it sound as though like my whole recovery has been some big, challenging, weird, freaky thing. I've had more fun clean than I just think I've ever had before. I mean, sometimes I can't believe how good life is, you know? I just can't believe how good, I just had no idea. And it's not like how many things I have or, you know, I have less things now than I did before. And it's just, I noticed just today the way the light was shining in the living room, and it's like autumn now, you know, and the lights changed a little bit, and it warmed up the house. And I live in an old apartment, and my furniture's kind of shabby. I looked around, and I was like, you know what? This is so nice. It looks like a home. My little dog was walking by. And I was like, this is so not how I thought everything was going to be. And yet, it's just so wonderful. And I just don't have words for how much that means to me. I didn't have a lot of moments like that before. And I'm so grateful that in the middle of like a hard time for me, because it's scary to me that I don't know what happened. And I'm afraid that I've repressed something, and I thought that was so corny and that only happened on television, and I certainly didn't think it would happen to me. And I hate when I'm fallible and I'm just like, why, you know? And in the middle of that, I can call it my anxiety adventure, and I can appreciate something really simple, like the fact that the light is shining in the house in a really great way, and that it's my home. And tonight, I may not feel the same way about it. I may go home and close all the doors and get out the knife and my chihuahua and have, you know, my little thing for a while until I fall asleep. But it's okay, because you know what? It won't kill me. And tomorrow is another day. And I can stay clean again tomorrow, and maybe the light will shine, or I'll notice something else, or just something will catch me, and I'll be like, yeah, I'm alive, and I'm a part of it all, and I'm a child of God, just like everybody else, and be all corny and mushy and all the stuff I didn't know how to do before I got here, and I'll be grateful. I'm not grateful in every moment. I've had moments lately where I'm terrified, but overall I'm grateful. I am so grateful to be alive. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I love that I get to think about it now, and I love that I get to think about it in all sorts of ways. And I want to say something, because I just heard a couple things lately that just made me think of this. Like, I really mean it. I really take the service thing seriously. If you want to call me, get my phone number. If you want me to call you, tell me. Like, I'm here. I'm a member of this fellowship, and I mean it when I say I love you guys. I don't know you. I love you. You too. Shlomo, you know I love you. Even on the days I don't dig you, I really fucking mean it, guys. And I used to be so afraid to do that because it meant, like, that I'm vulnerable, that you could get me or you could reject me or laugh at me. Go ahead and laugh at me. Like, I mean it anyway. Jillian, I especially love you. And I'm just... Thank you for being there for me, you guys. Thank you so much. Thanks. Thank you.